Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ryan Lehrer on WNYC and add Louis C.K. and Judge Roy Moore to the list of men facing credible claims of sexual misconduct. The comedian is accused by five women associates in a New York Times story of masturbating or asking if he could masturbate in front of them. The politician is accused by four women in a Washington Post story of initiating sexual encounters with them when they were teenagers and he was in his 30s. One difference as of now, Louis C.K. is instantly being punished in his career. Roy Moore, running for the Senate from Alabama to replace Jeff Sessions, isn't, as he denies the stories. Louis C.K.'s forthcoming movie is now being withheld. HBO is pulling his comedy specials from their on-demand collection, and more. But here is White House spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders being cautious last night on behalf of the president.
The president believes that we cannot allow a mere allegation, in this case one from many years ago, to destroy a person's life. However, the president also believes that if these allegations are true, Judge Moore will do the right thing and step aside.
And here is Steve Bannon last night on the story about Moore.
But it's interesting. The Bezos, Amazon, Washington Post that dropped that dime on Donald Trump is the same Bezos, Amazon, Washington Post that dropped the dime this afternoon on Judge Roy Moore. Now, is that a coincidence?
So with us now, no coincidence, correspondent Michael Shearer from the Bezos, Amazon, Washington Post, and two New York Times correspondents who worked on the Louis C.K. story, Milena Rysik and Kara Buckley. Welcome all of you to WNYC. Good morning.
Thank you.
And listeners, our phones are open for your reactions to these stories and the larger context of so many creepy stories about men continuing to be made public. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Michael, the stories about Roy Moore are from 40 years ago, but there are so many sources in the original Washington Post article yesterday that it looks really credible. Can you describe a little bit for our listeners first some of the most important facts about who's saying what, about their encounters with Judge Moore, and the breadth of the sourcing?
Yeah, this is a story that Stephanie McCrumman, one of our reporters, found while she was reporting something else in Alabama about Roy Moore supporters. Someone mentioned this pattern to her, and she began following up on it. Roy Moore, in his early 30s, was a Vietnam veteran, a West Point graduate, who had become the assistant district attorney for a small county in Alabama. He was a pretty prominent person in town. He was a bachelor. And according to our reporting, during this time, would go to malls, would go to high schools, would meet girls in the hallways of a courthouse, even when they were, in the case of this one woman, when she was sitting with her mother, and then asked them out on dates. The one woman was 14 at the time. In that case, she says that their relationship proceeded to sexual activity at his house. The other women who we interviewed said that they would go on dates and it didn't go beyond kissing. But all the women said that, in retrospect, many years later, they found the encounters unsettling.
Part of the I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and Moore has said that he was single at the time, said he was dating. He has denied the allegations, and the response has been a real division within the Republican Party, which I'm sure we can talk about what he should do.
Well, some of the reactions in defense of Moore have been really shocking. One Alabama state official, the state auditor, Jim Ziegler, told the Washington Examiner, quote, "Take Joseph and Mary. Mary was a teenager, and Joseph was an adult carpenter. They became parents of Jesus. There's just nothing immoral or illegal here, maybe just a little bit unusual." But there is something illegal here, if these assertions are true, aren't there? Isn't there?
Yes, it is a crime to have, it would be second-degree sexual assault, what they did. with a 14-year-old if you're in your 30s with the one woman. And there's a second felony charge that could be pursued of taking an underage person into a house with the intent, if that could be demonstrated, of sexual misconduct. So there is a criminal fact here. You know, I was calling around to Republicans in Alabama yesterday and heard repeatedly this argument that, you know, they want to separate the case of the 14-year-old with the case of the other women who are 16 to 18 because they were making the case that there's nothing inappropriate about a 30-something-year-old man dating a 16-year-old or 17-year-old or an 18-year-old. The age of consent in Alabama then and now is 16.
And before we bring in Milena and Cara on their story, part of the story about Roy Moore initiating his encounter with the 14-year-old is that it came at such a vulnerable moment. According to her and her mother, he was outside the courtroom with the teenager as the mother was inside for a child custody hearing. That's the report, right?
Yeah, that's right. They were waiting outside. I think the mother was there too when they approached, but the you know, the
wasn't it like, don't worry, I'll stay here and watch her while you go inside for your proceeding? Maybe I got that wrong.
I think the other thing to step back, and I think the encounter, their liaisons were not known by the mother at the time.
Uh-huh.
So even if the mother met him at the time, you know, she did not know that her daughter was dating him. In another case, you know, one of these women went to her mother as a teenager and said, "What would you think if I was asked to go out with someone who was 30 years old or more?" And the mother said to her, "Well, it depends who it is." And she told him it was Roy Moore. And she says her mother responded, "Well, I'd say you're the luckiest girl in the world," which gets at, I think, sort of the status he had at the time in that community when he was, you know, going to malls and meeting people who had, you know, worked as Santa's helper or worked behind counters or going to speak at high schools and according to these women meeting them.
Milena Rysik and Cara Buckley from the New York Times. Both your bylines are on the story, so I'll let you kind of sort out who says what here. But can you give us some of the details on your Louis C.K. story and why this is coming out now?
Sure. We have spoken to five women, four of whom are on the record in our story, detailing experiences that they had with Louis, which they said crossed a line into sexual misconduct. The experiences range from two of the women said that he invited them back to his hotel room after a performance at a comedy festival, and they went thinking they were just going to hang out, and suddenly he got fully naked and began masturbating. In another case, which happened on the set of a TV pilot, in which an actress and producer was working with him, he asked her if he could go back to her dressing room and masturbate in front of her, and she said no. And in yet another case, a woman was calling him up to invite him to come to a show of hers, and he suddenly began masturbating, basically with no preamble. And I think that these stories are coming out now because this is perhaps a powerful moment for women. You know, these stories like these have been circulating as sort of rumors in the comedy community for many years, but until now, women didn't feel like they had the support or, you know, that people would believe these stories. And now, in the aftermath of all these stories about other powerful people in Hollywood and beyond coming out and women speaking against them, I think some of these women that we talked to felt like this is their moment to share their stories.
Here's a scene from Amazon's One Mississippi, in which the character played by Tig Notaro, who in real life has already previously called out Louis C.K., seems to refer to his behavior.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, what's up?
I don't know. Maybe you can tell me. My colleague said she witnessed something pretty disturbing in your office this morning.
I don't know what you're talking about.
She said you masturbated in front of her.
What?
And we know that Harvey Weinstein's behavior was referred to jokingly on 30 Rock in this scene 5 years ago.
Oh, please. I'm not afraid of anyone in show business. I turned down intercourse with Harvey Weinstein on no less than 3 occasions out of 5.
Thank you, Jenna. So, Cara, do you want to continue maybe on the time lag and things that were known as open secrets but are only emerging publicly now to actually affect somebody's career?
Sure, absolutely. You know, the thing to note is the women who had the encounter in the hotel room, this was in 2002. It was a completely different landscape in terms of, you know, it was predating the Harvey Weinstein moment by 15 years. They weren't sure what to do with this, so they thought, you know what, we're going to try and build outrage against Louis C.K., we're hopefully going to shame him, and they began telling everyone they knew, you know, at the festival, what had happened. They got immediate backlash. They said men were backing away from them like they didn't want to hear it, and they had heard that Louis C.K.'s manager, who is very powerful, his name is Dave Becky, was furious that they were telling anybody what had happened. They were new to the comedy scene. This was their big break. And they felt like, we can't talk about this anymore because we're going to be crushed. Our careers, which have barely started, they're going to be over. So they stopped talking. And for years, the rumors had circulated, but they weren't comfortable stepping forward because they thought, you know, this is a really powerful person in the comedy world. We're still getting our footing. We're still looking for jobs. And, you know, I think a lot of the women carried that sense of shame, and it was sort of in this moment now, as Milena said, where everything has shifted in terms of what support, women are being believed, women are being supported, and it's now that they are stepping forward.
We're talking with New York Times correspondents Milena Rysik and Cara Buckley on their story that hit yesterday about Louis C.K., and with Michael Shearer from The Washington Post about their reporting that also hit yesterday on Judge Roy Moore and the political implications of that. And let's take a phone call. Peter in Norwalk, you're on WNYC. Hi, Peter.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. So specifically, I want to focus on the Louis C.K. Issue and also on the Kevin Spacey report. And just ask, at what point do you separate the man from his art? So an example of this would be Picasso was a well-known womanizer and, frankly, probably a pig and, you know, abuser. He has a quote saying that there's two types of women, goddesses and doormats. So we don't you don't take the Picassos out of the Met. You know, people aren't, you know, taking their Picassos off their wall. We still celebrate him as an artist. So at what point, and what I'm wrestling with is, at what point do we say the art is okay if the man, you know, deserves to be punished, punish him, but, you know, should we be deprived mm-hmm. of House of Cards, you know, or should we not be allowed to watch Louis C.K. anymore because he's disgusting? So it's really, you know, a question of how do you separate the two. And are we getting into an area of moral censorship against art? And, you know, I'm not even talking about Roy Moore. I'm just talking about specifically art.
I understand. And we have at least one other caller on the board making the same point and asking the same question. So, Cara and Milena, have you thought about this or have you reported on this? You know, whether there are different pros and cons about removing Kevin Spacey's work, removing now Louis C.K.'s work?
Well, those, you know, the issue of removal is one for the networks and the platforms that carry that stuff to decide. You know, I think for me as an audience member, and I would guess for a lot of people, this is a really individual question. You know, can you separate the art from the artist? And it's something that we've had to wrestle with, as the caller pointed out, with other, you know, major cultural figures throughout history, and we probably will continue to have to wrestle with. One thing that I think is interesting about the Louis C.K. case is, in his case, it's perhaps particularly complicated to think about this because so much of his comedy, you know, in his stand-up, on screen, on TV, and in the movies, was seemingly based on his real life. I mean, Louis, of course, the TV series is, you know, he plays a comedian in that show. A lot of his comedy in his stand-up specials dealt with behavior that he is now alleged to have done offstage in a way that crossed the line. So that question may be more complicated to answer for him than for other people.
And listeners,
and also, if I could just sort of jump
please.
In. Louis also, you know, dismissed all these things as internet rumors. And for the women hearing that who, you know, felt victimized, shamed, felt like they couldn't speak out, that was, you know, maddening. And that was one of the reasons they stepped forward. I mean, he absolutely denied it. He denied their experiences, and they're just, now is the time to listen to them. And I, you know, like Milena said, decide on an individual basis. You know, there's debates every time a new Woody Allen movie comes out. Same with Roman Polanski. It's very individual.
Listeners, all our lines are full, but why don't you tweet your thoughts on this, and we'll see it through the day, about what should happen to the art of artists who are now disgraced because of their sexual misconduct. Tweet at Brian Lehrer. Michael Shearer from The Post, did you want to add something there?
Yeah, I think there's a very similar corollary in the political space. You know, one of the things a lot of Republican county officials were saying yesterday when they were called about the Roy Moore story was, well, we have to keep supporting him because otherwise Doug Jones, the Democrat, is going to be elected and that won't be okay. And I think there was a similar moral question that was asked of the country last year during the presidential race when, you know, the Access Hollywood tape came out about President Trump. And a lot of voters in the end decided that even though they found his behavior despicable, it was okay to support him politically and to vote for him at the polls. And so I think that that question of how people deal with this information is not just one for people consuming creative material. I think it is really a very live question in politics right now.
Edward in Yorkville, you're on WNYC. Hi, Edward.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call, Brian.
Sure.
I'm from Alabama. As maybe apparent from my accent. And Roy Moore, I mean, of all the people for this to come out about, that it would be Roy Moore is pretty extraordinary. I mean, he's, most of my own family are quite conservative, you know, most people in Alabama are, but he's always been seen as a sort of a nut, and sort of a figure of fun, except not all that funny. But now, I don't know. I mean, this is all just really bizarre. I mean, my friends back home are journalists, some of them anyway. I was when I was there. The Alabama press is just going nuts with this. You're seeing article after article of, like, things he said in the past about sex and morality. I mean, it's a bit of a feeding frenzy. I mean, this is a guy who was dismissed from the state Supreme Court twice.
Right. So, Edward, are we so tribal, maybe, in our politics now that none of this matters that much to the majority of Alabama voters? Compared to kind of like what we heard from Steve Bannon, oh, if this is coming from the Washington Post and would help the Democratic Party during an election campaign, then we just have to circle the wagons around it. Because we know that, as you say, Judge Roy Moore was already removed from the bench twice for refusing to enforce the Supreme Court's ruling on same-sex marriage as a constitutional right, and for violating the First Amendment, separating religion and state by posting the Ten Commandments. He might need an 11th commandment from what we're learning. But, you know, in his public courtroom. And yet he won the primary for Senate. So what do you think is going on there? Maybe it's going on everywhere. You know, maybe Democrats would forgive a liberal politician accused of the same thing. I don't know. But Edward, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I think there's a lot in that. Namely the especially the bit about the tribalism. Although I would say, I mean, I don't think Anthony Weiner. It's not exactly a good. It's not a perfect analogy, but mm-hmm. You know, he was drummed right out.
He was.
And I mean, you have seen though. I mean, Moore's own statement is just basically to say, it's a bunch of nonsense. They're lying. And then I saw a thing in the Times article, here it is, this is, others in Alabama shrugged at the allegations, quote, there's nothing to see here, said Jim Ziegler, the state auditor and a longtime supporter. Single man, early 30s, never been married, dating teenage girls. Never been married, and he liked younger girls. According to the Washington Post account, he never had sexual intercourse with any of them. And this is a sort of way of verbally shrugging at something, apparently. I mean, that's pretty heady stuff. Yeah, I mean, I do think it's tribal. And
Edward, thank you so much for your call. Michael Shearer from the Washington Post, do you want to pick up on that?
Yeah, I think the other thing to point out is that the public response to this is evolving, as the other reporters noted in the entertainment space as well, that, you know, men being pigs is not new in history. I think what is new in the last several years is the public shaming and outpouring of outrage over this behavior. And I think we're still in the middle of a sort of a cultural evolution when it comes to these questions of whether they can just be shrugged off as, what Trump called locker room talk, you know, when the Access Hollywood tape came out last year, or whether this is something more serious that is basically disqualifying of someone from public life.
As a matter of political analysis, what do you make of the way so far Mitch McConnell and the White House are kind of hedging and saying, well, if this is true, then he should step aside? There's going to be no way, I imagine, to determine with physical evidence or some other way if it's true. They're going to have to decide by reading the breadth of the sourcing in the Washington Post whether they believe it or not as to whether they call on him to pull out of the Senate race. Or am I missing something? Michael.
Yeah, it's unclear what further investigation Mitch McConnell is going to launch to find out if this is true. But it is true that the reactions to this have broken down largely on political lines. People who supported Roy Moore in the primary tend to be supportive of him now. People like Mitch McConnell, who opposed Roy Moore in the primary rather fiercely, are being very critical of him now. The President Trump also opposed more in the primary. Right now in Alabama, Roy Moore is going to be on the ballot on December 12th when the election is held. There's no way to take him off the ballot. He can withdraw from the race. If he withdraws, then any votes cast for him won't count. The state party still has the power to petition the state to disqualify him from the ballot, but there's no sign that the state party wants to do that at this point. And then the other thing that could happen is you could have a write-in campaign organized by Republicans to rally around another candidate, perhaps Luther Strange, the incumbent senator there, and that could be a way of going forward.
Yes.
I think we'll find out more in the next day or two about how this is going to happen.
And that special election is in December. Ariel in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling.
Hi. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I wanted to say that I feel like we're missing the bigger picture here a little bit. We're focusing on these individuals that are in the spotlight that we feel like we knew because they're public figures, but that we don't know. And they're actually just men assaulting women, and that this is a part of our society. And we're starting to shine some light onto that. And it's shocking to people who, when these individuals come out, like Bill Cosby, obviously was, I mean, I feel like I watched The Cosby Show to learn how to parent. So, and I'm a white woman, so it is, I can't even imagine what it is like for, like, a male person of color to have the Bill Cosby thing come to light. But that this is rocking everyone's world because this is true. This is 1 in 4. This is me and so many of the women friends in my life. And I'm sorry that is hard for some people to start to understand.
Yeah.
But this is the reality.
Do you,
whether or not these are public figures.
Absolutely. And that's the context of this conversation. Totally right. And then you get to all the men who aren't public figures, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
These
are our neighbors.
Exactly.
These are stepfathers.
And how,
Yes,
and how to hold them accountable. The Roy Moores, the Louis C.K.'s, the Kevin Spacey's, the Bill Cosby's, the Harvey Weinsteins will be all over the press, and they'll be disgraced whether or not they get to keep their jobs or their candidacies. You know, what about all these other guys who there isn't that much leverage on? What about women who work in little companies that we talk about HR? Oh, go to HR and report it to. Well, so many of the companies are small businesses in America where there's no HR department.
The Weinstein company had HR, you know, I mean.
Yeah, this is also hard. This is hard for men to face because their friends have done this, because they know people who have done this, and they don't want to look at it because it's so much a part of our culture, and people don't want to face it.
Ariel.
And as a mom now raising two little girls,
yep.
I think about this all the time. How do I raise little girls who this won't happen to them? And it's a hard question.
And as the father of two boys, it's mm-hmm. on us.
Yes. Absolutely.
It is. If the question is only being asked, and I'm not blaming you for this, you happen to have two girls. You have to ask, how are you going to raise your two girls in light of reality? And all parents of boys have to ask themselves, how are we going to raise our boys? Knowing, not that it wasn't known, but knowing how persistent this kind of thing is when, you know, people might have hoped that it was fading in this allegedly more enlightened era. Ariel, thank you so much for your call. We're almost out of time. Kara or Milena, did I hear one of you wanting to react to Ariel's call?
Well, yeah, there's a couple. This is Kara. Sorry, Milena. Just really quickly, even having HR company, you know, doesn't guarantee anything. You know, the Weinstein company had an HR, you know,
right.
department. It's just no guarantee. And, you know, she's right. I mean, it's shifting now. It's hard to look at. If it happened during Picasso's time, hopefully, you know, maybe we would look at the art differently. But, you know, when the terrain shifts, you know, at one point slavery was the norm. Like, you know, things are shifting, and that makes we have to hold people to standards, and we have to tell stories that haven't been told if people, you know, have felt like they've been, you know, victimized or hushed.
And I'm just seeing a New York Times alert now that says Louis C.K.'s new movie release was canceled. The movie was called, of all things, I Love You, Daddy. But is that new? Was it that the premiere was delayed yesterday?
Movie, the distributor has shelved the movie. They announced earlier today they are not going forward with the release. So that's it. Yeah, the movie premiered at the Toronto Film Festival. The distributor, The Orchard, bought it. It was to have its premiere this week and then to open next week. And
none of that is happening.
Yeah.
Kara Buckley and Milena Rysik from Failing New York Times, Michael Shearer from the Bezos Amazon Washington Post. Thank you all very much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.